This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Run. It's 9:20, Thursday, the 9th of June, and a quick update on the FBM KLCI, which is still in the green, currently up 0.12% to 1,525 points. Meanwhile, we're looking at one market that has done extremely well, and that is the Indonesian equity market that has bucked the trend by managing to stay in positive territory on a year-to-date basis, with the Jakarta Composite Index up 9.3%.
Yeah, in fact, it's the best performing market in Asia. What is the reason for this standout performance for a country with a population of 300 million? And can this market continue to outperform despite the headwinds of rising inflation and slow global growth?
For answers, we turn to Jerry Goh, Asian Equities Investment Manager at Aberdeen. Good morning, Jerry. Now, like we said, Indonesia, one of the best performing markets, even globally, return of 9% on a year-to-date basis. I mean, when you compare it with the MSCI Asia ex Japan Index, which is down 13%, help us understand this strong outperformance.
Well, thanks for inviting me back to this show again. I think for the Indonesian market, it's been very interesting to watch over the past year, mentioning how things have been reopening and has been great. I think some of the key reasons that have helped Indonesia buck the trend, as you mentioned, it's really because the commodity prices are still rather elevated, especially for both the coal as well as the palm. Some of the key metals like nickel, even copper, although they have weakened from the peak, we are still seeing prices higher than the start of the year. These definitely have helped exports a lot, which definitely helped the trade balances of Indonesia. We are also seeing economic reopening within the country itself, and it continues to gain momentum. I've heard that tier one cities, in terms of activity levels, it's back to pre-COVID levels. Tier two, tier three cities catching up real quick. Some of the rural areas, they haven't really gone back to normal, but this means much more runway for the entire country itself.
I mean, you talk about the two distinctive factors here. One is the reopening theme. Presumably, that will be shorter lived, but the commodity cycle could last quite long. So do you then expect outperformance to be sustainable for the rest of the year and even heading into 2023?
I would think so, but we need to be careful over here. So I'm rather cautiously positive about the outperformance. As we continue to see the commodity prices remain higher for longer, this will naturally continue to bolster the Indonesian economy, as we know already. The question is really whether these commodity prices would be impacted going forward, right? So that's one of the analysis that we're trying to do. And the biggest fear, it's really from weakened demand from recession. There are experts who are predicting recession in US, and it's not a non-zero possibility. But from an energy security perspective, I think conditions are still looking like a shortage, and that could support prices of coal in the short term relatively. Although from a longer term perspective, when we talk about coal, we are always concerned about things moving towards new renewables, right? Mm-hmm. So, but I'll leave that topic for another discussion. And fundamentally, we also talked about improved activity. I think we will continue to see that. And in terms of affordability, we are also continuing to see that because of rising commodity prices. And that could support and the sustained performance for Indonesia.
But Jerry, if you look at the World Bank, they've cut global growth on the back of rising inflation, and Indonesia's GDP consensus growth of 5.2% with only a 5% recession risk. Does that look too positive now?
I think we need to be slightly careful about the estimates over here. But generally, when we look at the GDP growth, what we have seen for the first quarter in terms of GDP growth, it's that growth has risen by about 5.01% year on year. And that's in line with consensus expectations. And for the second quarter's GDP growth numbers, I'm waiting for it to come in because we are really excited for that. But generally, we have been seeing stronger than expected net exports, private consumption, and these would boost the GDP growth quite substantially. In the second quarter, we are also seeing the effects from full reopening, some sort of a pent-up demand from Lebaran, for instance, and that could support GDP numbers going forward. So I think the GDP consensus growth of about 5.2%, maybe it's still okay for now, but we really need to watch global conditions because that definitely will have an impact on Indonesia's commodity exports, and that would have an impact on the GDP consensus growth.
You know, so besides the global conditions, are there any other downside risks to Indonesia?
I think other downside risks for Indonesia really might come from the likes of, let's say, further restrictions as a result of lockdown, certain regulatory related conditions that the government plays in, for instance, but that could impact only relatively a few sectors, such as, let's say, the we have just received a new draft bill where they are considering to increase the domestic obligation for the coal players from 25% to 30%. So that could impact existing coal-related players within Indonesia. So from that perspective, we might see some sort of impact, but it's not going to be a broad base.
Jerry, in the past, right, one thing that made Indonesian markets a little bit unstable was, of course, the fluctuating rupiah rate. Do you see this happening anytime soon, or has the exchange rate stabilized somewhat?
On rupiah, when we look at the domestic conditions in Indonesia itself, I think things are really looking very positively positive, which is what I've mentioned earlier in terms of the reasons. So what could impact the strength of rupiah? It's really more a relative call. So if you were to look at the USD strength, strength of the dollar has been really strong, and that has implicated the strength of rupiah over the past, I think, 1 month, if I'm not wrong. So on that front, rupiah has depreciated. But I think in terms of the conditions going forward, it should continue to be supported by a strong domestic economy, strong domestic conditions. So I think all eyes should be on whether the dollar would strengthen going forward. And that could tell us where the rupiah will perform.
I mean, with you hinting a sense of optimism in how Indonesia is going to move forward, you know, what is the right investment strategy you would advocate for Indonesia then?
I think we need to continue to stick to a focus on quality. We need to continue to pick out companies that have pricing power, especially in this rising inflation environment. And maybe within Indonesia itself, we can find companies that could benefit from the second order economic growth. The first order would be, the direct beneficiaries of higher commodity prices. And so after that, what's next, right? So that's one thing that we need to try to find out. Companies that benefit from reopening and companies that have a longer term growth trajectory in normal conditions. So these are, some of the companies that we are trying to look out for and research and, allocate much more capital to.
All right. Thank you very much for your time. That was Jerry Goh, Asian Equities Investment Management Manager at Aberdeen, giving us his view on the Indonesian market. He sounds rather optimistic, doesn't he?
It does. I mean, if you think about even the risk and challenges, it really is more the global risk challenges there. There's a bit of the regulatory elements, but as he said, also relatively isolated, driven to specific sectors, subsectors.
They're in a sweet spot. After all, commodity prices continue to be very, very high and they benefit from the reopening team. So clearly explaining why their markets are up 9% on the year-to-date basis. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.